Welcome to The Brand Advantage. This series, brought to you by Bluetex, explores how brand creates real competitive leverage by increasing enterprise visibility, strengthening credibility, and ultimately raising enterprise value. Each episode distills proven strategic thinking from the Bluetex perspective into focused, practical insight, designed to be consumed, not pitched. Strong brands create advantage long before the deal. Now let's jump into another episode of The Brand Advantage.
Okay, so picture this. It's late October. Mm-hmm. You walk into a grocery store and you're just, you're assaulted by this wall of orange.
Oh yeah, pumpkins, skeletons, candy.
Those massive bags of candy that we all pretend are for the neighborhood kids, but let's be real, are definitely for us. It's a total sensory overload.
It creates a very specific, almost, nostalgic atmosphere.
It does. But here's the reality check. We usually think of this whole seasonal shift as the exclusive playground of the B2C world.
Sure. Snickers ads, horror movie trailers.
Exactly. It's Spirit Halloween popping up in some abandoned strip mall. But if you walk into a corporate boardroom or, say, a cybersecurity firm during that same week, it's usually crickets.
Maybe a plastic pumpkin on the reception desk, if you're lucky.
Right. There's this invisible, heavily fortified line. On one side, you have fun, consumer, emotional.
And on the other, you have serious, professional, B2B.
And the prevailing wisdom has always been,
don't cross the streams.
Exactly. Don't do it. Which makes sense, conventionally. If you're managing someone's retirement fund or securing their entire cloud infrastructure, you don't want to look like you're wearing a clown nose.
No. Credibility is the currency.
It is.
Exactly. But that is the assumption we are going to dismantle today. We're looking at a really sharp piece of analysis from the team at Bluetex. It's titled Spooky Good Branding.
I love that title.
Me too.
Yeah.
And they're posing a question that I think makes a lot of traditional marketers just sweat a little. Can a serious B2B enterprise actually leverage a holiday like Halloween to drive business without looking completely ridiculous?
It's the ultimate risk-reward calculation, isn't it? Because the downside of getting it wrong is high. You look unprofessional, you lose credibility.
You look silly.
But the upside, as Bluetex argues, the upside is that you finally stop being invisible.
That is the key word right there, invisible. Because let's be honest, a lot of B2B marketing is designed to be safe, which, often just means it's designed to be ignored.
It is. So the mission for this deep dive isn't just about how to make a spooky logo, it's bigger. It's about using these seasonal campaigns as a low-risk sandbox for your corporate identity.
Best sandbox, I like that.
Yeah. Can you basically use Halloween to beta test a personality transplant for your brand?
That is a great way to frame it. Mm-hmm. And it really starts with understanding why that safe route is actually, it's actually dangerous.
How so?
The core argument here is that in a sea of navy blue suits and stock photos of people shaking hands, professionalism often just reads as boring.
It just blends in. It's camouflage.
Precisely. And Bluetex points out that Halloween offers this unique psychological loophole, a kind of cultural free pass.
The free pass.
Yeah. Because the whole environment around us is playful, brands are sort of granted this temporary license to step out of character. If an enterprise software company cracks a joke in July, it might seem unhinged.
A little weird, yeah.
But if they do it in October, it's festive.
So the context is the safety net.
Context is everything.
Yeah.
And it allows for three things that are notoriously hard to get in B2B.
Okay.
Humanization, approachability, and differentiation.
All right, let's dig into that first one. Humanization. It feels like a buzzword we throw around a lot. Be human. But practically speaking, if I'm selling, high-end logistic software, why does my client care if I'm human? They want efficiency.
They want efficiency, sure. But they buy from people they like and trust.
Yeah.
We often forget that B2B buyers are just B2C consumers who happen to be at work.
Right. They don't turn into robots when they clock in.
Exactly.
Right.
So when a brand engages in the Halloween spirit, it signals self-awareness. It says, we are experts, but we don't take ourselves so seriously that we're devoid of personality.
It kind of breaks the fourth wall a little bit.
It does. And that directly leads to differentiation. Think about the sales cycle. A procurement officer is reviewing 10 different vendors.
Okay.
9 of them are indistinguishable walls of text and corporate jargon.
Yeah.
But one of them ran this clever, slightly edgy campaign that made them chuckle.
Yeah.
Who's stuck in their memory?
The one that made them feel something. Even if it was just like a moment of amusement.
Exactly. You're building memory structures. But, and this is a huge but, you have to actually get them to stop and look first.
Right.
Which brings us to the visual strategy. The text talks a lot about stopping the scroll.
Yes, and I want to get specific here because make it pop is like the worst feedback you can give a designer. We aren't talking about just making everything bright orange. What's the actual mechanism at play?
It all comes down to what psychologists call a pattern interrupt.
A pattern interrupt.
Yeah. Our brains are efficiency machines. We have this reticular activating system that filters out anything that matches our expectations. So if you're scrolling LinkedIn, your brain expects blue logo, headshot, text about Q4 goals.
Over and over again?
Blue logo, headshot, text about synergy. Mm-hmm. You don't even really see them anymore. You just skim.
It's just visual white noise?
Correct. So when blue text recommends spooky visuals, they're talking about introducing a visual anomaly, something that forces the brain to switch from skim mode to focus mode.
Okay, give me a concrete example. What does that look like for a, you know, a really boring company?
Okay, let's take a data storage firm. Very serious. A pattern interrupt isn't just some banner ad that says Happy Halloween.
Right.
It's maybe a temporary redesign of their user interface where the loading bar becomes a little skeleton finger.
Right.
Or it's a temporary logo shift where the negative space in the corporate icon suddenly holds a bat silhouette.
It's subtle, though. It's not splashing fake blood on the quarterly report.
No. And that's the crucial guardrail the authors emphasize. You cannot create an identity crisis. The goal is a touch of fun, not a mask that completely hides who you are.
The audience still needs to recognize you.
Immediately. Think of it like a business suit with a really interesting, slightly wild pocket square.
Or festive socks.
Right. You're still in the suit. The authority is still there. But the socks signal personality? If you showed up in a full inflatable T-Rex costume, you've lost the authority.
You've gone too far.
You've gone way too far.
That distinction is so vital. It's about signaling we get it, not we are a joke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once you've arrested their attention with that visual anomaly, you have to keep it.
And that's the copy.
That is where the copy comes in.
Huh.
And honestly, this is where most B2B brands fall flat. They might get the visual right, but the text is still as dry as a bone.
Or they go for the lowest common denominator pun and it just, you know, it induces groans.
Puns are a dangerous game.
Yeah, they are.
But Blutex argues that in this specific window, they can be a powerful tool for cutting through complex, dry topics.
How so? Because if I see another don't let this offer ghost you subject line, I might actually scream.
Fair. That is the low-hanging fruit. But look at how it can apply to an industry like, say, cybersecurity. This is a field built on fear. Fear of breaches, fear of ransomware, fear of the unknown. Usually the marketing is very, very grave. Protect your assets or else.
It's just doom-mongering.
It is. But Halloween allows you to flip that fear into something manageable, even entertaining. The suggestion here is to use the spooky theme to make those invisible threats tangible. So something like, don't let data ghosts haunt your server.
Ah, I see. It frames a very real, very scary problem like legacy data compromising security as a ghost.
Exactly.
Which makes it feel solvable. You can bust a ghost. You can't really bust a vague existential dread.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You're taking the anxiety out of the room and replacing it with agency. And you're doing it with a wink.
Right.
If a CISO sees an email that says, is your firewall screaming for help? They know you're selling a solution, but you've approached them as a human being who's probably stressed out rather than just hitting them with a bunch of specs.
I like that. It's acknowledging the stress, but lightening the load. What about an industry that isn't inherently scary, like cyber? What about finance or accounting?
That is the final boss of serious industries, right? Money is not a joke.
Not at all.
But the strategy there is about demystification. The text suggests a fright-free finance campaign.
Okay, walk me through that.
Imagine you're a consultancy. Your clients are terrified of audits, or tax season, or big compliance shifts. Those are their monsters under the bed.
Definitely.
So instead of a dry webinar titled Q4 Compliance Updates, you run a campaign called The Horror of the Audit, How to Survive.
I would click that 100%.
You would, because it validates your feeling that audits are a horror show, but it also promises a survival guide. You position your firm as the Ghostbusters. You are the ones with the proton packs who can trap the scary regulatory monsters.
So you're using the Halloween trope to position yourself as the protector, the hero.
Precisely. And that is why this works. It's not about the pumpkins. It's about the narrative frame. You're identifying the monster, which is the pain point, and offering the candy, which is the solution.
Okay, I'm with you on the tactics. Visual stop the scroll, copy builds the bridge. But there was a section in this analysis that really stopped me in my tracks. And I think this is where we move from like marketing 101 to CMO strategy.
Let me guess. The strategy lab.
The idea of Halloween as a strategy lab. Yes.
Yes. This is, I think, the most profound insight in the piece. Mm-hmm. We tend to view holiday campaigns as disposable.
Totally. You run them, they end, you throw the assets in the trash, and you go back to business as usual.
And Bluetext argues that is a massive waste of data, a huge missed opportunity.
Because you have this captive audience reacting to a different version of you.
A different version of you, exactly. Think of a seasonal campaign as a beta test for your brand's future. It's a low-stakes sandbox. Because it's temporary, you have permission to try things that would usually get shot down in committee.
Like what? Give me a scenario.
Okay, let's invent one. Let's say you are a legacy enterprise cloud company. Your brand voice has been reliable, secure, stoic for 20 years.
Sounds about right.
But you know you're losing market share to younger, cooler startups who sound more like peers than, you know, stuffy professors. You want to change your voice, but you're terrified of alienating your legacy clients.
Right. You don't want to pivot and have your biggest client call up and ask, who are you people?
Exactly. So you use Halloween. For 2 weeks in October, you launch a campaign that's wittier. Maybe you introduce a mascot. Let's call him the Data Gremlin. He represents messy cloud storage. You use conversational language. You make a few jokes about server downtime.
And if everyone hates it, if it bombs.
If everyone hates it on November 1st, you just say, wow, that was a fun Halloween stunt. And you go right back to being the stoic cloud company.
No harm, no foul.
It was just a costume.
But if they love it.
But if they love it. If your email open rates double. If clients are actually replying saying, hey, this was actually funny. Then you have hard data.
Proof of concept.
You have proof of concept. Okay. You can go to the board and say, look, our audience is hungry for this tone. We don't need to be this stiff.
So you can use the holiday to essentially A-B test a rebrand without actually committing to a rebrand.
It allows you to iterate your way into a new identity. Maybe that data gremlin becomes a recurring character in your training manuals. Maybe that conversational tone becomes your new standard for newsletters. You're creating an evolution, not a revolution.
That is brilliant. It turns what looks like a throwaway marketing expense into legitimate strategic R&D.
It's really the only time of year you can do that. You can't just decide to be funny in March for no reason without confusing people. The holiday provides the cover fire for innovation.
I love that term cover fire for this. It really highlights how defensive a lot of B2B branding is. We are so afraid of making a mistake that we don't do anything interesting.
And that fear is the real enemy. We talk about professionalism as if it's this fixed set of laws. Thou shalt use Times New Roman. Thou shalt speak in the passive voice.
Right.
But those aren't laws. They're habits. And habits can become traps.
So if I'm a marketing director listening to this, or even a CEO, I shouldn't be asking my team, what are we doing for Halloween?
No.
I should be asking, what are we testing this Halloween?
Exactly. What part of our brand do we wish we could change? Let's try that version of ourselves out for a week and see what happens.
Sure.
It's permission to be brave.
Permission to be brave. I think that is the crux of it. Okay, we have covered a ton of ground here. We've gone from the neurology of pattern interrupts to the high-level strategy of brand beta testing. Let's try to synthesize this for the listener who is staring at their content calendar right now.
I'd boil it down to three key takeaways. First, abandon the idea that B2B means boring. Your clients are human beings who are, frankly, bored to death by standard corporate speak. Halloween is a legitimate tool to wake them up.
Right. Wake them up. Don't just, you know, inform them into a coma.
Second, execution is all about balance.
Yeah.
You need the pattern interrupt, the spooky visual, the witty headline, but you need the guardrails. Don't lose your identity. Accessorize it. If you're a bank, be a bank that gets the joke, not a bank that thinks it's a haunted house.
That distinction is so crucial.
And third, use the sandbox. Don't let the data from your seasonal campaigns just evaporate. Analyze it. Did the new tone work? Did the mascot get engagement? Use October to inform what you do in January.
It's a continuous loop. It's not just a one-off stunt.
Exactly.
You know, thinking about all this, it strikes me that we put so much pressure on brand consistency. We're taught that consistency is the absolute key. But maybe consistency is just stagnation in a fancy suit.
I think that's a fair challenge. Consistency builds trust, yes. But predictability breeds indifference. You have to find the balance.
Okay.
You want to be consistently reliable in your service, but surprisingly fresh in your communication.
Consistently reliable, surprisingly fresh. I'm stealing that.
These do.
So here's the final thought I want to leave everyone with. We've talked about all these rules, the rules of professionalism, the rules of B2B.
The rules we impose on ourselves.
Right. If a temporary Halloween mascot or a silly pun about ghosts can eventually become the highest performing asset for a serious multi-million dollar company, it really makes you wonder about those rules.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my challenge to you. What professional rule are you following right now that is actually just a habit based on fear?
That is the question.
What if you broke it just for a week, just as a test? Maybe the real ghost haunting your business isn't the market or the competition. Well, maybe it's your own fear of looking unprofessional.
And frankly, in a world where everyone is trying to look professional, the most professional thing you can do is actually connect with your customer.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay.
All right. That is a wrap for this deep dive. We hope you found some scary good insights. Sorry, I had to do one more pun.
You held that as long as you could.
I really did. Go forth. Be brave. Test something new and maybe steal a Reese's cup from the break room. You've earned it. Thanks for listening.
Take care, everyone.